Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the Anti-Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God tonight. I just give God all the praise and glory on tonight. I magnify His holy name. We're going to get ready to just have a short devotion, a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Let me shut this door for the door. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 84, Psalms number 84. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Yea, the sparrows have found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who's passing through the valley of Becca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointing. For a day in the courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than a dwelling in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. I have just read you Psalms 84 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're just going to have a song.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
If you want to, you can. It's up to you.
Your
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I confess, I repent, I ask for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, asking you right now, God, to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase, and teach us tonight, God. Open up our minds and open up our understanding, God, in the name of Jesus. Open up our spiritual eye, God, that we may see what you see, God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless and cover their families and homes and vehicles in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I ask you right now to take over and take control, God. I have no knowledge, no power, no nothing, authority of myself, but it's you, God. Just teach tonight, Holy Spirit. I just give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. When we bind up the strong man, from this radio broadcast, we bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every medium, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled from our lives and from this radio broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So let it be. So let it be. We're going to get ready. We're on 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're going to start off reading now.
1 Samuel chapter 20. Then David fled from Naioth in Ramoth and went and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity and what is my sin before you, Father, that he seeks my life?" So David said to him, "By no means, you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing either great or small without telling me first. And why my father hid this thing from me, is it not so?" Then David took an oath again and said, "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes, and he has said, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." So Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you desire, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you." And David said to Jonathan, "Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat, but let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over in Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family.' If he says thus, 'It is well, your servant will be safe.' But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father?" But Jonathan said, "Far be it from you, for if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you?" Then David said to Jonathan, Who will tell me? Or what if your father answers you roughly?" And Jonathan said to David, "Come, let us go out into the field." So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord God of Israel is a witness. When I have found out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do an evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safely, and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies." Now Jonathan again caused David to vow, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then David said to Jonathan, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of deed and remain by the stone Ezel. Then I will shoot three arrows to the side, and though I shot, as though I shot a target. And there I will send a lad, saying, go, find the arrows. I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you. Get them and come. Then, as the Lord lives, there is safely for you and no harm. But if he says thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you. Go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed, the Lord be between you and me forever. Then David hid in the field. And when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on the seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today? So David answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to go there. And now, if I find favor in your eyes, please let me go away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has not come to the king's table. And Saul's anger was aroused again against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse's own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he grieved for David, because his father had treated him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that David went out into the field at that time appointed that Jonathan went in the field. At that time appointed was David, and a little lad was with him. Then he said to his lad, now run, find the arrows which I shot. And the lad ran, and he shot an arrow beyond him. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out for the lad and said, is not the arrow behind you? And Jonathan cried out after the lad, make haste, hurry, do not delay. So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But he did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, go, carry them to the city. The lad had gone. David arose from the place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be with you and me, and between our and between your descendants and my descendants forever. So he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
chapter 21. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servant to put... Oh, shoot. I'm so sorry, my page just turned. Okay. And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king commanded me a business and had said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, woman have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallow bread, for there was no bread there but the shoe bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servant of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, and Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000? And David laid up these swords in the heart, and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath, and he changed his behavior before them and fend himself mad in their hands, and scrambled on the doors of the gate, and let his fiddle fall down upon his head, upon his beard, fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of mad men, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my prison. Shall this fellow come into my house? The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. We're going to get on. We got about 7 questions to answer, maybe a little more. In chapter 20, verse number 1, number 1, at this time, did Jonathan know for certain that Saul wanted to kill David? Did he know at first that Saul really wanted to kill David?
No.
Okay. No, okay. What else go with that?
Well, it looks like they're having a discussion about it, and David is letting him know what's going on, what he thinks. And Jonathan at this time doesn't, like he said, his father's not talking about him. David is making him keenly aware that he knows that his father, and he gave him signs, prophetic signs to look for of his King Saul's reactions when he seen that he was missing. So Jonathan is giving clear information regarding this, and when he gets back, and just at the time and David told him, and he asked for him, and then David also discusses with Jonathan, well, what if your dad gets, the king gets not married just with me, but with you, like letting them know you kind of putting yourself out there for me. And so at this time, they swear in a covenant that they're going to, you know, watch out for each other and this here and that. And so when King Saul does respond, because in chapter verse 10, 20 and 10 says, then David said to Jonathan,
wait.
Who will tell?
Listen. We on verse 1, baby. Okay,
trying to use a verse 9, to just kind of wrap it up, you know, to imply that Jonathan still don't know, so he's looking for a sign. Excuse me?
Let's wait till we get down to you answering questions that I got to ask. You understand? You got your questions
in
front of
you? Yeah, I was just trying to back up what I had said about the question that you said. Did Jonathan know at that time? So, yeah, that's just what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Number 2, how would Jonathan find out if his father was against David? And I want you all to say your names. Just be polite when you're bumping into each other. How would Jonathan find out if his father was against David? How did he find out?
Carolyn.
Okay.
Would he find out when David was in the field, and this is how he would know that his father was against him, when he would shoot the arrow into the field? And that way he would know that Saul was against him.
And then too, just like Prophet Harris was saying, he wasn't at the table too. Remember when Jonathan went to the table, and the king was there eating, and the first time it was okay, I guess, but the second day he got very angry. So that too helped Saul, Jonathan know that his dad was upset with him. Anybody else got something to say on that?
Well, Oh, okay.
Okay. Number three, how would Jonathan let David know whether it was safe for him to return? And anybody know that?
He told David that he would have a conversation with the lad, and based on what he said to the lad, David would know whether to return or he needs to flee for his safety.
Yeah. And then with the arrows as well.
Yeah.
See, Jonathan would shoot those three arrows like a Prophetess Brown was saying, and then he would send a lad, just like Prophetess Harris was saying, he's sending the lad to retrieve him. And David would be hiding and watching. But the boy didn't know. The lad didn't know what he was doing. He just did what Jonathan told him. I don't think he even seen David hiding. I just think David saw him. And when David saw him, he knew it was safe for him to go or whatever. It was time for him to go because he knew that Saul was really angry and was going to try to kill him. Okay. What answer did David receive from Jonathan? That's number four. And just like we said, it was not safe for David to return before the king. That's the answer David was trying to see, because he would have been at the meal. But he was just afraid. And then the way you knew it, too, is because he tried to kill his own son with a spear. He was very angry. So was Jonathan sad to see David go?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Both of them cried really bad because David had to leave. They was crying really bad. Okay, chapter 21. What did David seek from Ahimelech, the priest?
Harlan.
Okay.
Did he receive the bread? I got the impression that he was very hungry, that he wanted to eat, maybe because of his 3 days that he was in the field. So he got from the priest the bread.
Yeah, that's right. He was seeking food. He sought food for he and his men that was with him. And also he was looking for weapons, too, because I don't think they had no weapons. I don't know. I don't know if King Saul probably knew. Hello? Anyway, he was looking for food and for he and his men, and they were looking for weapons, too. Because them having to leave at a certain time and left like they did, you know. Okay, what did David pretend in front of the people of Gath? What did he pretend?
Prophetess Martin, he pretended like he was a madman. But it was funny because the man saw right through him.
Sometimes you have to go that way, though. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to go that way, honey. Because they probably would have killed him. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know. I believe they did know who David was. But I felt like they still would have killed him. That's what I felt. He did the right thing to me. He did. Mm-hmm. So do we have any more anything else to say about this before I just start trying to summarize everything up.
I have a question, Apostle.
Okay.
In chapter 21, why did the priest Ahimelech ask David when he came to him, why he says, why are you alone and no one is with you? And I was wondering, was that like a custom, like where he shouldn't have been by himself? Or I just wondered, why did he ask him, why are you alone?
Because David was really the king. See, David, I think it says somewhere in there that he was the king. Because I don't know what she saw, Samuel might have told them that God had anointed David king. Some of the people knew and some of them didn't, but Saul knew. You know, Saul was beginning to know that God wasn't with him no more, that he was with David. That's why he was so angry. So the people, and then the king of Gath and them, they knew that Saul was trying to kill him. And so he was asking, why are you alone? Why are you by yourself? And you know this man trying to kill you.
Oh,
okay. Because Saul had anointed David as king. He had already anointed David as king, and Samuel did. And Samuel probably told some of the other people. I'm sure word get around just like it do now. Mm-hmm. And he shouldn't have been by himself. I thought they just said he was seeking food for himself and his men, where his men was at. Everybody knew Saul was trying to kill him. And he was running from it. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, though, but. But Jonathan did not really believe that his father was just that angry that he was trying to kill David. David was trying to go back to serve Saul again, and he tried to kill him again. And he ran then and asked Jonathan, what have I done? What did I do to make your dad so angry at me? What's the reason? Jonathan said, for surely my father's not trying to kill you. He told him, yes, he is. You know how that is. You know, you're trying to convince your friend that your father trying to kill me for nothing. I didn't do anything. What did I do? Tell me so I could straighten it out. And Jonathan himself had the power to hurt David because he was the son of the king. He could have hurt David, but Jonathan had made a promise him and David with each other, and they loved each other. They loved each other so much. They made a promise to each other just for that. Jonathan would be loyal and kind to David, and he would be to go against his dad to tell David to run. You know he loved him. He loved him all the way to his soul. That's how hard he loved David. His heart and soul loved David, and David loved Jonathan just like that. That's why they cried so hard when they had to depart from each other. And Jonathan knew that David would be the next king. Jonathan knew that. Because he wasn't with his father like he was in the past. But that was Saul's fault because he had turned against God and started serving other gods and idol gods. Mm-hmm. And he was doing that last thing really just took the cake because God told him go in there, destroy everything, every boy, man, woman, girl, everything. And Saul came out with the king, and he came out with some oxen and goats and sheep and stuff and all that other stuff he brought out of there. And God said, you disobeyed me. Who want to disobey God like that when God had told you what to do and let you win that war? No. He didn't deserve to be king. He was disobeying God. He was disobeying God. He was a leader. This is what I'm saying about leaders. You can't be like that. You can't do that. God is the only person I know that can really fire a preacher, a prophet, an apostle, a bishop, and replace you. Replace you so quick, you won't know what happened. And if you keep messing with him, honey, you'll die a slow death. Because God don't play. When you in leadership, that's what happens. You have a responsibility, just like Saul did, but he didn't keep and do. He was disobedient to what God told him to do. That's why we have to try with all our might. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what we've been through. I don't care. When God tell you to move, you move. When God tell you what to do, you better try to do it gracefully. I don't care what's going on. You can shoot, honey. Think I wanted to get up there and preach Sunday? I wanted to, but my heart was saying, you know, hey, but God said this. You got to do what you got to do when God tell you to. I probably could have called somebody and said, do this, but God didn't tell me to call nobody to do nothing. And so I didn't. Same with Saul. You can't just take up on yourself when God have commanded you to do something and gave you favor in winning a war, a battle. And then you're going to do like you want to do and keep some of the spoils and keep some money. And, oh, that's why I don't play with the money. I don't play with that kind of stuff. Because God don't play about that. God owns everything, the silver, the gold, the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he even owned the hills that the cattle stand on. Money is the easiest thing for God to give us because he owned it. But when it comes to stuff like that, that's why Saul, he replaced it. He said, no, you don't have the best interest of my people because you steering them wrong. You tell them, just like the other day, I saw on, I don't know which site I was on that, anyway, I ain't going to even go into that. But, yeah, you can't do that. You can't change when you feel like changing. It's a lot of leaders going to have a heavy judgment. I'm telling you, it's a lot of leaders, and I pray every day that I do the right thing to the best of my ability. That's how you got to do for God. You got to go hard and deep for God. You can't, we walk in a straight and narrow. We can't go to the left or to the right being leaders. And you cannot make one of his sheep scatter, the sheep, the flock. You can't make them stumble because of something you've done, of something you've said. No, you cannot. These are things that I'm going to be kind of trained about in these training classes because you have to, when you find out your purpose and you know what God is calling you to do, just like he anointed David king. He had Samuel to anoint him king. David knew that he was supposed to be king. David knew it because Samuel anointed him. But he was waiting till God tell him to take your place. Sometimes we move too fast. We get out of line with God because we moving too fast. We be stepped right out of line, out of his will, because we moving too fast. We don't want to wait till our turn comes. He played for the man that wanted to kill him. He soothed him with his music. And that evil spirit just took over Saul, just took over him completely. He was trying to kill Jonathan, too. That's how it is. Anyone have any questions or any comments?
I have a question, Professor. In chapter 21, verse 7, when it says a certain man, a servant of Saul, was there that day detained before the Lord, I was wondering what the detained mean before the Lord.
Okay, tell me what verse it is.
Chapter 21, verse 7.
Okay. Now, a certain man of the servant of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. So what I can say about that, the Lord could have been the king. That's what I'm thinking, the Lord, because I know he wasn't in the house of God, so it has to be the king before the Lord, was detained before the Lord. Let me see. Hold on. Let me find your answer right quick. I really think that was from this other Bible. Chapter 21. Okay. Doeg was detained at the sanctuary. Yes, it was. He was at the sanctuary. He was in church at Nob as a proselyte, or because of a vow, a need for cleansing, or because he was suspected of leprosy. Yep, and that's he was at the church. He was in the sanctuary.
Okay.
Before the Lord, because anytime you step in the church, you are before the Lord.
Okay.
He was at the church when they detained him at the church. Yeah.
Oh, so you had to pay it a vow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, he had to pay a vow. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, he did. Because of a vow, a need for cleansing, or because he was suspected of leprosy in Leviticus 13 and 4. So, yeah, it was something, he made a vow. That's why I tell you, you have to be careful when you're making a vow to the Lord, because you have to pay them vows. You have to pay your vow, whatever vow you made unto God, you have to pay that. And I just feel, go ahead, you can, anybody has a question?
Oh, no, I was, not to deviate much, but I came across a verse in Judges. Where a man went to war and he made a vow to God that, like he would say, Lord, if you let me win this battle, when I reach home, whatever comes to my door first, I will give unto you. And it turns out to be his daughter.
Yep.
You know?
That's right.
And I was looking to myself and I was saying, you know, the scripture is true when it says, you know, let our words be few before God. Because we speak so fast sometimes without thinking, you know, and make vows that myself is guilty of not keeping to. And I was really thinking of it, you know, and said, you know, let me mind my words sometimes.
Yes, that's right. But see, a lot of times that vow is really, really just real ticky-like, because I think it's in Judges 2 or some one of those books in the Old Testament where it was saying if you marry and you make a vow, you have to ask your husband first. And if he allows you to make that vow, he is responsible for you to keep the vow, the woman. But if you go head on and you don't keep the vow, your husband tell you not to do it, then you're responsible to pay the vow. But if not, your husband's responsible. And if it's the same thing with your daughter, if your husband say you can't, because my husband did me like that one time, he don't ever explain to me at that time, maybe because if he do, I probably would have got upset, like, you can't tell me what to do, you know, but he can.
Yeah.
And so now God let me see all of that stuff, because he told me I was trying to do something, making a vow before the Lord, and he was saying, no, I don't want you to do that. I say, and when he said that, I said, look, I'm doing this, not you. He said, no. He told me, I'm responsible when you make a vow. And I'm trying to figure out, why are you responsible? Hadn't even never thought about what the Word of God says. That's why we have to be careful. We have to know this Word. This Word is true, and every man is a liar. I'm telling you, when it comes to the Word of God, I'm telling you, he just brings it right every time. I'm studying this Word from chapter to chapter. It's something comes up where I've experienced this thing. But my husband, he surely told me, he said, I'm responsible if you make that vow. He said, don't do that. And he said, if you do it, when I tell you not to, you're responsible for yourself. And silly me, saying, well, I'm responsible. Didn't know nothing, had to repent, everything. When you finally God surely knew that I was unlearned in that area. He surely had to know that I was unlearned. I'm telling you. And that's why I repent so much. People say, I know I sound like a broken record, repenting all the time, but you have to, because every time you look around, it's something that you have said or done or thought about that's wrong all during the day. He said, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar and the truth not in you. That's what the Word of God say. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And if you don't repent, it's on you. Because I'm telling you, we must repent as often as we can through the day. Not just at night or in the morning, but through the day I repent all the time, because I'm so afraid that I may miss something and not repent for it. You know, because you can't go before God dirty. So that when you repent, God to forgive you, that cleanses it. So you can go and pray before the Lord. But when you don't repent and try to go before God, well, how high you think your prayer is going to go? By as tall as you are. That's how, and fall back to the ground. Because God's going to turn his nose, that's just like stench, to his nostrils. When we don't repent before we go before God. People think they can just jump up and go and run before God. Even if you are sinning and you're trying to pray, you better go saying, Lord, I know I'm not worthy and I'm sorry. That's repentance. A sinner man, which we all are saved by grace, can do that. But when you in God, you better know how to repent and go on from there. Yeah, that's something. Those vows and things are, and studying that Old Testament, it's really got a lot in it. This Old Testament, we started back from Genesis to know what tribe we was in. See, we started back from Genesis. We found out what tribe we was from. You need to know what tribe you out of. And then that'll let you know where you are. You know, even though we all God's children,
But we need to know what tribe we come out of. That ain't why we start studying from the beginning, but as we study, we learn a lot of things. And I was telling the people, if you learn one thing every time we study, if you get one thing good in your heart, you good. Don't come away from the chapters with nothing. Learn something from every chapter. Every time we read something, learn something. Keep something.
Yeah.
You know, because you were not going to learn it all at one time. But if you take one thing, that's why I can remember about that vow. Mm-hmm. And he told the Lord, I'm going to pay that vow with the first thing to come to my door. That's right. And it was his daughter. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful what you say and what you do, because your tongue right there, that tongue, the words you speak is alive. I'm telling you. And sometimes mm-hmm. they can be deadly. Mm-hmm. You make me sick, or they make me sick. Next thing you know, you sick. You started saying the same stuff. Oh, I can't mm-hmm. stand them. They make me sick. That's not good. You started speaking over your life. You make me sick. They make me sick. That make me sick. Mm-hmm. You got to learn from that stuff. And like I say, I only teach leaders. So I'm trying to get leaders to know what they doing, because they are going to carry the heaviest weight, and judgment going to begin at the house of God. He ain't going down to the club. He going straight to the house of God first. Then he going to the club. But he going to get us first. Know that. It's going to begin at the house of God. And if we haven't been doing what we supposed to do, we're going to be judged. And we got some mercy there. We got some mercy. That's why I said yesterday when I preached. Was it yesterday, Sunday? Lord, have mercy. Sunday. Mercy covers or rejoices over judgment. It triumphs over judgment, the mercy of God. And we get new mercy every day. All we got to do is repent and ask God to have mercy. That's all we got to do. Any more questions or comments? I've been just running my mouth. I just want you all to know the truth. Any more questions, comments? Amen. It's good. Samuel is good. First and second Samuel. You all going to get to know some things, and, you know, it's surprising, but some of this stuff is really still happening because you got witch doctors going on right now. I thought witch doctors was long gone or over in Africa somewhere, you know, or not here, but witch doctors are here. They right here. You ain't got to go to Africa. Witch doctor everywhere. A witch is a witch. That's why I be binding them up. You have to really be careful because you don't know who they are, but they know exactly who you are. They know exactly. That's why when you go out and you come in, you need to be covered under the blood of Jesus. You have to keep yourself covered. They know you're a leader. They know who you are. They know how much power God is and authority God is giving y'all. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, they do.
Yeah, the thing is, the witches don't look like what the storybook says anymore. No, they're
just like
regular people.
That's right. They're in their disguise, because one time I can remember I was at Kroger and I was fasting, had just come off a fast, and this lady was getting ready. She had a reverse light on. She was getting ready to come out the parking lot, out the parking spot. And I sit there and waited. She knew exactly who I was. She just sit there. Then she started laughing at me, turned around, looked at me, and started laughing. I said, she going to come out of what? I waited there 5 minutes. That lady sit there. I went on the other side of her so I could see her in her face, and she could see me. She just laughed, and when I parked, she came out. She was just bothering me. I have ran into a few witches here in Detroit, Michigan, because they have a witch temple right downtown here. in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh.
They let them have a witch temper in plenty places. Believe me, they got a witch coven in North Carolina, South Carolina, somewhere. They got a coven. You know, they have them in the south, north, the east, and the west. They all over. So you have to know.
Yeah.
They feel like that's their religion. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know that they trying to come against you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you all have to watch yourself real good. You know, when people, like I told you, that it was a witch at a Home Depot handing me some material, and I brought it right onto the house. And I think she said, oh, you can clean with it, you can dust with it, just a big, thick pieces of material. Now, why would you give somebody material at the hardware? I wasn't thinking. I came right on home, brought that material in the house, put it on my countertop in the kitchen, went outside, did some stuff. I came back through my door, kitchen door, and I heard the Lord say, throw it out. And I said, throw it out. My eyes landed right on that material. I grabbed that material, took it to the trash can, put it in the trash can. All the time my oil started knocking up. I knew it then. Because the lady looked at, she wanted to help me so bad in Home Depot, and I told her I could do it myself. So she said, if I can't get you like that, I'm going to get you some kind of way. She handed me that material. I grabbed that material and threw it in the trash can. I was talking to my granddaughter, Prophetess Moore, and she said, Granny, you need to take that material outside and burn it up.
Mm-hmm.
I took it outside. We can't start no fire around here or we'll get a ticket. But I took it outside and put it in a bag and left it outside till the trash man ran so I could send it away from here. But let me tell you something. You have to be careful because they cunning. They trying to find out how they can get you. That's what they trying to do. You have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway, we don't have class this Thursday. This is our off Thursday, but on Tuesday next week, we have class. We'll have class Tuesdays and Thursdays next week. But I'll be on the live broadcast in the morning on Facebook. Then on next Monday, we'll start our training class for the prophets, training class for the ministers on Wednesday, training class for the apostles is on Friday evening at this very same time. So don't get it mixed up. Tuesday and Thursday is the Bible class. But I'm training. I'm just, and this training is just to let the prophets and the ministers and apostles know what to do and what not to do. I'm not trying to teach you anything, but to learn, teach you and show you what you're not supposed to do as a minister, as a prophetess, as an apostle. We need to know our purpose. We need to know what to do, what not to do. We need to know our purpose in life. And I'm just trying to help you. I'm not God, but I can help you kind of figure out some things. So, but anyway, I'll be on the live broadcast in the morning for our wake-up call. We're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for opening up our understanding. Thank you for opening up our hearts and our minds, Father. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover their families in the blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about they and their homes and vehicles and children and family, Lord. Bless them, God, with the blessing they stand in need of. Thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you. We pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be.
Amen.
God bless you all. I will see you all in the morning, the ones that be on the live broadcast. God bless you. You all have a good night.
Thank you. Good
night.
Good night. Amen. God bless.
God bless.
Love you all.
Good night.
All right. Good night.